All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, hour number four of our radio program. We'll get to your calls in just a bit. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can always interact with the show on social media, at Zach Gelb, on Twitter and Instagram, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. But first up, let's do this segment that we do every Monday and Friday. Five questions, five answers. We call it Onsides, Offside, Hot Take, Hickey. You know the dealio. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Baker Auto Parts, where your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hot take, Hickey. Let's get to it.
Well, Zach, Lamar Jackson today made it public that earlier this month he formally requested a trade away from the Ravens, citing that Baltimore isn't interested in meeting his value. Now, head coach John Harbaugh was speaking, or subsequently speaking, when Jackson tweeted this, saying that his approach for this season is that Lamar will still be the Ravens quarterback, and even went as far as to say that he expects the former MVP winner to be in Baltimore in 2023. Onsides or offsides? John Harbaugh is right, and the Ravens won't trade Lamar this offseason.
Here's where I'm stuck on this. I do think that Lamar is eventually going to get traded. I've now said for a while it's not a matter of if Lamar Jackson gets traded, just when. The thing that complicates it for me this offseason is we don't know when teams are going to start to talk to Lamar. I would think maybe by the draft is probably my best guess. And then the other challenging part here is what happens if the Ravens look at the offer and they're like, oh, it's actually a fair deal. We'll accept it. I do think, though, Lamar requesting the trade and then making it known today, even though he requested the trade back on March 2nd, and not necessarily by what Harbaugh said, but just how he said it, I get this vibe that it's not Harbaugh who doesn't want him. It's more so a fight with Bisciotti, with DaCosta, and Lamar. And I think because of how close Lamar is to the situation, because he doesn't have an agent, that makes this very messy, where I don't even think Lamar would want a deal from the Ravens at this point. It's just, when is a team going to enter those conversations? I think this is as 50-50 as it could be in terms of Lamar either getting traded this offseason or next offseason. Right now, I'm going to lean that it's this offseason because there's just so many signs that Lamar is frustrated. But even though Lamar's frustrated, even though Lamar may want out, Hickey, all it takes is for the Ravens to match the contract. So I'm going to say right now that when you ask me, is John Harbaugh right and the Ravens won't trade Lamar this offseason? I'm leaning it's more likely he gets traded than not get traded. And I think it's so close. So I will go offsides on that.
Offside.
All right, a little college basketball here, Zach, because just like we all thought, just as all our brackets had, the Final Four is set of FAU, San Diego State, UConn, and Miami, all four teams heading down to Houston to chase that national title. Now, all four teams have reasons as to why they are not Cinderella stories, but instead, just damn good basketball teams. FAU has the most wins in college basketball this season at 35. Miami, their road is arguably the hardest as they have taken down the highest possible seed they could have played in each round, a 12 seed, a 4 seed, a 1 seed, a 2 seed, while San Diego State has taken down the title favorites and number one overall seed Alabama, and UConn. They have just obliterated their four opponents so far, averaging 22.5 points per game. That's their average margin of victory. Onsides or offsides, Zach, of the four schools left, FAU is the most improbable team to make it to the Final Four.
Oh, yeah. Easily. They're a 9 seed. The other two are, there's 2 5s and a 4. So, yeah, they're the most improbable. I thought you were going to ask me when you're reading that question, are they the most improbable team ever to make a Final Four? Which my answer to that would be no. Like, just for starters, George Mason back in 2006, entering that tourney, Hickey, They were 20-13. Like, think about that for a second. And that's just, that's wild when you look back at what they accomplished that year. Or excuse me, my bad. They were 23-7 entering that tournament, which is just, that's crazy. This team only had three losses. And they're in the Final Four. Now, who was picking them as a 9? And then also, just for starters, VCU too. And they got to the Final Four. Adam, there's a bunch of others as well. But just in terms of answering this question, of the four schools left, FAU is the most improbable team to make it to a Final Four this year. Yeah. The other one would be San Diego State. Do you think San Diego State's more improbable than FAU?
I mean, look, I'll say this again. FAU has 35 wins, so it's not like a surprise they're winning games. Also, look at their road. The road is really not that difficult. Like, the best team they beat was Kansas State, a 3 seed. All three other teams have beaten a higher seed, at least one of them. So it's not like they had to slay Goliath of Alabama or took down Purdue or Kansas.
Looking at it that way.
Like, San Diego State beat number one Alabama. UConn, I mean, they had to play Gonzaga. They smoked them, but still Gonzaga was a 2 seed. And Miami just took down number two Texas and number one Houston in back-to-back weeks. So it's like no one saw any of these four schools coming for the most part, right? It's all a surprise. No one, and that's Shade, congratulations to you. You have more foresight than anyone could imagine or just lucky. But no one had any of these four teams in the Final Four, so all their roads are improbable, I would say. All their runs are improbable. But so you look at FAU,
So you look at it through the journey of the tourney based on the quality of opponents. I looked at it more so if you would have told me before the start of the tournament that UConn would be in the Final Four, Miami would be in the Final Four, San Diego State would be in the Final Four, and Florida Atlantic would be in the Final Four. Who's the most improbable team? I would have said, obviously, Florida Atlantic, because they're the 9th seed.
Seed, sure, but also road matters, you know, who you're playing, when you're playing them.
All right, next question.
That's why. All right, so let's go back to the biggest story of the day. That's Lamar Jackson requesting a trade, and now that that is official, speculation on who could trade for Lamar has started to ramp up. Now, according to DraftKings, the Colts right now are the favorites to land Lamar Jackson, followed by the Patriots, Falcons, Lions, and Buccaneers to round out the top five betting favorites to trade for Lamar Jackson. Onsides or offsides, if traded, the Colts will be the team to trade for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think so. I think your organization is desperate. They clearly need a quarterback. And also, you're going to be sitting there at 4 with Stroud and Young off the board. Anthony Richardson is a project. Will Levis is a project, I think. You could go get Lamar, and you know for the most part what you have in Lamar, what Lamar can be in this league. It may not, like, you talk about, here's the other thing, because I know you've been against Lamar. If you draft Anthony Richardson and you draft Will Levis, and do me a favor when you answer this question, forget your idea about taking a quarterback now and then being bad next year and drafting Caleb Williams. Let's just say that's not on the table. When are you playing Richardson or when are you playing Will Levis? If you're all about putting the young quarterback with enough around him to put him in a spot to succeed where you don't ruin his career. Because that, to me, is the tough part on that one.
I mean, realistically, you don't play until 2024. Kind of do what the 49ers tried to do with Trey Lance, and you sit him for a whole year, let him learn, get another off-season workouts, another training camp under their belt.
So sit 1 year.
Sit 1 year. Yep. You want to go week 18? Maybe, but I don't mean at that point. Just.
And this is for a developmental player, too, both of them.
Well, yeah, Levis and Richardson are the two projects, you would say, compared to Stroud and Bryce Young.
And we don't even know if you'll feel comfortable thinking they're ready in a year from now. That's why I think Lamar's right there. I know there's an injury concern with the way the last 2 years ended, but I know what that guy can be and what that guy has shown to be so far in the NFL. And you just got to give him a contract and 2 first-round picks. Like, 2 first-round picks for Lamar is not much, because you just saw what Russell Wilson went for in a deal and what Deshaun Watson went for in a deal. And you could get Lamar, who's young, for 2 first-round picks, and I got to give him a contract, I'd do that. I would do that rather than wait for like 2 years for Richardson and Levis just to be ready. And then you're talking about maybe then 3 years potentially. If let's just say you sit him 1 year, then the first year there's some ups and downs, and it's like, okay, then you're going to year number 3 of that rookie deal where you maybe fully go in and say, okay, we may have our guy. I would just go with Lamar and run the risk on the health part of it. So you asked me if traded, the Colts will be the team to trade for Lamar Jackson. I will say yes on sides.
Speaking of needing a quarterback, let's stay on that theme.
If that happens, that Lamar gets traded to the Colts this offseason, I know you're against the move now, but if let's just say we get the breaking news alert this offseason, I don't know, like when you're on the air, let's say it's 2:30 in the morning, right in the middle of the night, this breaks. Lamar Jackson agreed to a deal with the Colts, then the Ravens leaked, they're not going to match it. Lamar is headed to Indianapolis in the middle of the night for two first-round picks. You're on CBS Sports Radio. The hot take hickey reaction is?
I have to see the contract. If it's 4 or 5 years, I say a mistake.
I don't know if you'd have that contract that they will come to regret,
and I don't think it's going to work out because I can't trust Lamar to stay healthy or play well in the playoffs. Too many questions for me right now to make this move. Give the draft capital, give him the big-time contract, limit your options of getting better players around him, which is another reason why I don't feel good with this Colts roster. And offensively, last year they gave you no reason to feel good about any player on the roster, maybe outside of Jonathan Taylor. So now you're going to take away two big assets and draft picks, first-round picks, away from building that offense up. Take away almost any and every cap flexibility you have going forward here of putting pieces around Lamar Jackson. I just don't want to be the Ravens 2.0 where even if he stays healthy, let's say there's not enough support around him to get to a Super Bowl caliber level.
But can't you question that the Ravens didn't, even though they tailored the offense to him, they never got him a true number one wide receiver?
You know, we've been saying that, and I totally agree.
But Michael Pittman would be, even though Michael Pittman's not this great receiver, still got a lot to prove, he'd be maybe the best receiver Lamar's played with.
I think you're right about that. Now, can he elevate himself?
Which is scary.
That's a question mark. And again, you just limit your flexibility salary cap wise when you're paying Lamar a big time deal to get him maybe not even a number one, but maybe a 1A to pair with Michael Pittman Jr.
But like, this is where you just lose me in your argument. It's you're hoping Anthony Richardson develops into something. You're hoping Will Levis develops into something. Wouldn't you rather just hope that Lamar stays healthy? Because you know, when he's healthy, he's a really great quarterback in this league.
Right, but then also, I mean, it's the same thing. It's a hope. So you're hoping with a player,
but at least I know
who's on
what he
a
can
cheap
be.
Rookie deal versus hoping a player stays healthy on a super expensive deal where you give up assets for him, and there's no guarantee he's, like, again, the trend is going to be he's injured. Not to mention, again, the playoff play scares me. That to me is a big deal. He has not looked good in the playoffs whatsoever. You're going to need him to play great in the playoffs, especially in this loaded AFC. I'm not going to give you this massive mega deal if you can't show me you can play well in the postseason.
It's just stunning to me. I can't get over with how, with some of the quarterbacks you've embraced, it's stunning to me why you wouldn't be more in for Lamar. I thought you would definitely be in for Lamar.
Again, if you want to go short-term deal, 3 years, $150 million, fully guaranteed, kind of do what the Vikings did with Kirk Cousins, I'm in. I would rather do a short-term, big-money deal. Just because, again, I just want flexibility in case things go south where I'm not another five-year pit of misery.
Let me ask you this. It's 5 years, $235 million, let's just say. $190 of it is fully guaranteed. But the fifth year, you structure it where it's most of the money goes the first 3 years.
Would he even take that? I mean, the Ravens reportedly structured the deal where it was especially front heavy, guaranteed wise. They didn't guarantee the last, and he said no.
$190 fully guaranteed. The Ravens reportedly $133. That's a big jump. How about $200? $200 million guaranteed.
You do all that, and if he stinks or if he's hurt or can't play well in the playoffs, you are stuck.
But it's worth the risk because what do you have
this year? Guess what? The Browns are stuck, and there goes that next 5 year gap. We have now nothing. But right now, at least you are building a younger roster.
But you were on board with the Browns trading for Deshaun Watson.
I am, yeah. I'm saying if he doesn't turn it around, I think Deshaun Watson is a good quarterback. If he stinks, pulls a Russell Wilson 2.0, basically, and can't live up to the contract or just lost it after sitting out for a year, the Browns are stuck.
Now, that's more complicated
exit plan
with what happened off the field. But in terms of the player, I'll take the risk that he'll be able to turn it around or he'll be able to be the guy on the field that we've seen for most of his career.
Last, I'll ask you this. Are the Colts trade today, tomorrow, for Lamar Jackson, are they a Super Bowl contender this year?
No.
Are they a Super Bowl contender next year?
I got to see how they shape the roster.
That's my concern,
but
too.
But I know that they have a good quarterback.
You are going all in now. I don't think the roster right now is where it needs to be to go all in for a Super Bowl push. So that's another thing. I don't want to waste or trying to take a home run swing, and your rest of the team's not even ready to take the swing.
You know what I've noticed with you? You're very picky. Very picky. Hickey's pickies when it comes to when his team should strike for a quarterback.
Well, because I've gone all in past. I am trying to learn from my experiences. I was all in on 2020.
Learn from anything.
I was all in, or not even all in. I was actually skeptical of Phil Rivers. Ironically, that was the best one of the three so far. But I was all in on Carson Wentz going for it. I was in on Matt Ryan going for the division.
That's a lie. You were not in on Carson Wentz originally, and then when it got announced, you were like, "Yeah, this is awesome."
I was in on Frank Reich turning him around.
And this is why I think.
And I was in on the Colts going for it.
If the Colts trade for Lamar, you'll say right now, "Nah, nah, 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 nah," and then you'll get fired up about it.
If it's a 3-year deal, I'm in.
It's not going to be a 3-year
deal. Exactly. I'm just telling you how I will be all in is if it's a short term deal, man. Where there's a get out of jail free card, if you will.
Let's go, Lamar. Get a deal done with the Colts, and then I'll have to root for that disgusting football team just to see Hickey all of a sudden try to scramble when his team starts actually.
Listen, that's best case scenario. That's if I'm sitting here in November and the Colts are like 10-2. I would love that.
You're already talking about 10-2.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, you're talking about how great Lamar Jackson is and how this team would turn around, how the Colts need to do it. If they get him and things go well, I think I'm gonna be depressed that they're 10-2 and I was wrong about not wanting Lamar Jackson. I hope I'm wrong.
I would think that Lamar Jackson and Jonathan Taylor together running that offense would be able to put up some points.
I hope so.
With the guy that you think is the greatest whisperer that's ever touch the offensive side of the ball and Shane Steichen, man. Well, he's wonderful.
Phillip Rivers, Jalen Hurts, done a really good job at developing quarterbacks.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
All right, let's
Justin Herbert?
No credit to Siri. Oh, I don't give him. Wait, hold on.
He was there for his rookie year. Rookie of the year.
You don't give Sirianni any credit?
I do. I'm not saying he deserves all of it.
Okay.
But Shane Steichen was there the 2 years that Jalen Hurts developed, and you see his jump from year one and year two, 2021 to 2022. I would definitely say Shane Steichen has something to do with that. That's for sure. So I feel good about that.
Shane Steichen should be thanking the Chargers medical staff, because Herbert wouldn't even get on the field.
That's not his fault.
If it wasn't for the fact that they punctured Taylor's lung.
Yell at him. And his conservative approach in terms
Steichen
of quarterback.
Isn't Steichen this offensive genius?
Yeah, but if the head coach says we're not playing Justin Herbert, we got to go with Tyrod Taylor because we promised him this offseason that he's going to be our starter. We got to deliver on that promise because, God forbid, you go back on the promise as you're paying a guy whatever he was, $5 million, whatever he was getting. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we'll see how great Shane Steichen is with whoever you're rolling out at quarterback this year.
Let's see.
If it's not Lamar.
Well, if it's Anthony Richardson, hopefully they win 3 games. And hopefully we're talking about Caleb Williams in 2024. Let's go.
Who's starting for the Colts tomorrow? If it Gardner Minshew, right?
Yeah, Gardner Minshew. Okay. He'll be the week one starter, no doubt about it.
Let's see how Shane Steichen looks without that roster in Philadelphia with Gardner Minshew.
Well, I'm telling you, next year, it's going to be bad. Okay. It's already going to be bad. That is for sure. So the Colts obviously do not have a quarterback. Technically, right now, neither do the New York Jets because they are still awaiting the official trade for Aaron Rodgers. It's been almost 2 weeks since the quarterback publicly said he intends to play for New York back on the Pat McAfee show. And despite right now the current stalemate in negotiations, NFL Network's Mike Garafolo reported that the Jets' plan A at quarterback is, of course, Aaron Rodgers, and that they don't have a plan B. Onsides or offsides, Zach, the Jets should call the Ravens about a potential trade for Lamar Jackson.
No, you're already past that. It's way too late because if someone else outbids you for Lamar or if the Ravens match, you're going to annoy Aaron Rodgers, and then maybe Aaron Rodgers rethinks about playing for you, then walks away and retires or tries to get a deal done with another team. I don't think that even though this deal is basically we know what the outcome's going to be, we just don't know how we're going to get there yet. I don't think at this late in the game, you could do anything where you run the risk of losing Rodgers if you don't get Lamar Jackson. So I would say offsides on that.
Offside.
And finally, it was a disastrous weekend for the Dallas Mavericks.
We agree on.
Yes. Oh, boy. Lost 2 games in a row to the Charlotte Hornets, who are the second worst team right now in the Eastern Conference. The Mavs are just 36-39, which is 11th right now in the West. There are 7 games remaining. Now, they are beating right now the Pacers, so they will go to 37-39 with 6 games left. Again, still right now out of the playoff picture looking in. And over the weekend, Luka Doncic mentioned that playing basketball, the joy that he has playing the game, has recently disappeared. onsides or offsides, the Mavericks will miss out on the playoffs, and we're including the play-in as the playoffs, so they will be 11 or worse.
It's good that you put that in there because I don't consider the play-in part of the playoffs.
But you're right. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. So you have Lucas saying that, and then you have just Kyrie Irving, who goes everywhere and gets along with nobody. I can't trust that team, which is crazy because they made the Western Conference Finals last year, are going to be in the post. It's just in the play-in tournament.
Forget just the playoffs.
That's ugly.
Making the play-in tournament.
That's ugly right now. That's like the Colts QB situation. Ugly. Can't catch it.
Very much so. Well, I don't know what else you want me to say there. I mean, I got nothing to say. It's terrible.
Let's go to Tim in Portland next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Tim, go ahead.
Zach. Oh, come on. Zach, how are you?
Doing good, Tim. What do you got?
I wanted to go rapid fire with you today. I got a couple of things because, as usual, it's a great show.
Thank you.
But the SDSU, San Diego State game, you had made the comparison with the Super Bowl call. I thought the same thing when I saw the play, but I think in the Super Bowl, the foul just, it was inconsequential. It was an overthrow. In the San Diego State game, I thought that the guy actually got a piece of him. And it's one of those things, as a defender, you can try to be slick and get away with that, but pretty tough to pull off with a last second type situation. Anyway, the real reason I called is, and I call not to admonish, Zach, I'm a huge fan, but the pronunciation of Larrañaga's last name keeps getting butchered. And I'm a child of the 70s, and I remember growing up and hearing Roberto Clemente for years be referred to as Bobby Clemente. And it I know nobody means to do anything. Nobody.
Well, actually, so I actually know of the way that you say it's pronounced because let's just call him Coach L to make this easier.
Okay.
Did an interview with Amy Lawrence and explained the correct pronunciation on his name, but I think when his ancestors came here, I may be wrong on the entire story in recalling it, everyone then just started saying Larrañaga. And now, since
right,
you bring it up, I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name at all because I'm going to be thinking about what you're saying.
Well, I actually remember, I heard the after-hours story, heard the interview with Jim, and basically when he went to Catholic school, he's Cuban, when he went to Catholic school, the nuns began to just kind of butcher it. And it's one of those things, again, I know nobody means any disrespect, but in trying to unify this country right now, I mean, the least we could do is, you know.
Well, Tim, I hate to break it to you. I don't think us saying Jim Larrañaga's name correctly or not correctly when everyone calls him Larrañaga is going to unify this country. I'm just going to go on a limb. Anything you hear on this radio show is not going to unify the country. And if those are your expectations when you tune into this show, your expectations are way too big.
I was going to say, if you thought that, I think you got bigger offices to run for than just right now hosting a show 5 days a week.
And I don't get into those political circles. Real quickly, John on radio.com in New Jersey. Go ahead, John.
Hey, it's John, your former intern from New Jersey.
John, what's going on, brother?
Well, I'm on cloud nine all day as an Aztec fan, and I have to, like the last caller, disagree with your assessment on the call at the end of the game. I think it was the correct call because the
You know what, John? After all I taught you, you're calling into this show to tell me that I'm wrong.
Oh, you know it.
It's fine. Like, as I said earlier, if you want to tell me it's a foul, okay. But with the way that was officiated throughout the first 39 minutes of the game, John, like, I have no problem with San Diego State winning. I don't have a problem whatsoever. But that would not have been called a foul through the first 39 minutes of a game, it felt like.
I think the reason it was called, too, was the defender was beaten on the play and made the foul from behind and affected the shot. And, again, like the last caller said, as an Eagles fan, I don't like the comparison to the Super Bowl because that ball was well over the receiver's head. But that's a whole other thing.
Like, John, as much as I like you, and I got to run because I'm up against a break, depending on what teams you root for, that's where you make the exception. Like, San Diego State, yeah, no problem. Eagles, I had a problem with it. Big time problem. By the way, I haven't called it radio.com in a while because it's the Odyssey app. Why does that come up as radio.com next to his name? Just wondering.
Oh, yeah. That is from the DA show. They like to identify where listeners are calling from.
Oh.
So he probably listens on the app.
Hickey takes a shot at the DA show. That's what I just heard.
No, no. They're the ones who put where you're listening from. And John is a caller who does call. Obviously, he's been listening for a long time.
I like John.
Never updated. So
was,
I
was a very good intern. That. Except I felt bad. He became an intern, and then I left the company like 3 months afterwards. In New Jersey.
Definitely not for his fault, that's for sure. Huh?
And let's just say, like, leading up to that, I was in and out of the office a lot. You know, some days I'd show up, some days I wouldn't as things were happening behind the scenes. All right, let's take a break. Zach Kelpscher, CBS Sports Radio.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You know, as we got out of the offseason or after the season, and we had a good conversation, and then, you know, we're going to have some follow-up conversations. And our inability to reach him or for him to respond in any way, I think at that point, then we just kind of had to, I had to do my job and kind of reach out and understanding that a trade could be possible and see who was interested, but that shopping was never really part of that.
It's spilling the tea season. That's what it is when it comes to the divorce of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. So you have, obviously, Rodgers going on McAfee. And Rodgers basically saying, I wasn't coming back either way when A.J. Hawk asked him that question. And then Brian Gutekunst basically says, I tried to reach out to Rodgers. He never returned our phone calls this offseason. So eventually I had to operate what was in the best interest of the football team. Now, what is compelling to me is we've heard from Rodgers. We have heard from Brian Gutekunst. And tomorrow, the NFC coaches are scheduled to speak. Today, the AFC coaches. Tomorrow, the NFC coaches. And I'm just wondering what tea Matt LaFleur is going to spill tomorrow. Because I've been told, and I do think there's a lot that's going to come out about Rodgers' relationship with the Packers. But I was told for the last few years that Rodgers and LaFleur would have game plan meetings, obviously common practice, to give Rodgers more say. And there would be multiple times where Rodgers would show up, and then there would be a lot of other times where Rodgers would just leave Matt LaFleur hanging in the meeting room, and then Matt LaFleur would eventually realize, oh, he's not showing up, and he would keep LaFleur guessing. So this was very ugly. We know this divorce. And there's a lot of information that we don't know. And I could guarantee you one of the Packers local beat writers at some point this offseason will have some story that will come out that will detail it all. But think about that. It's kind of crazy that this relationship lasted as long as it did with LaFleur, Gutekunst, and Rodgers. And that even got a contract extension last offseason. And it was coming off back-to-back MVPs. But that's a very unhealthy relationship, even though you heard at times that the relationship between Gutekunst and Rodgers was improving. With what went on this offseason, you know that it wasn't in that good of a spot. But really, that relationship between Rodgers and LaFleur, where you have meetings, where they're giving you more say, and sometimes you show up and other times, yeah, I'm just going to leave them there, keep them guessing. That's just not a good look for Aaron Rodgers. So, Hickey, I think it's clear. We all knew this was ugly. But now, since the divorce papers are written up and they're just waiting for the final signatures, aka the Jets and Packers, to figure out what the compensation is, you know everyone's going to eventually start running their mouths, and it's already started.
Hearing you say that, not exactly the most surprising thing in the world, considering it's Aaron Rodgers. He does what he wants. He does not respect authority whatsoever. He is a guy that, whether it's out of pettiness, whether it's to remind LaFleur that I'm the man here, you're not, and send that message by leaving him high and dry for game planning meetings. And they talked about on the record that they don't exactly mesh scheme-wise, so not exactly crazy to think. But, again, the New York Jets, I hope they're ready. And you better hope, by the way, that he wins, because to your point, you wonder how the relationship lasts so long. And it lasts so long because Aaron Rodgers won MVPs and they won games.
Yep.
So Matt LaFleur is not going to say anything. Aaron Rodgers could do whatever he wants because he says, well, look at me and look at what I'm doing on the field. And the Packers are not going to trade a guy in, you know, with a resurgence, a renaissance. I hope Robert Saleh is ready. I hope Nate Hackett is maybe used to being left on red. Maybe he knows and is not going to go to the meetings because he knows Aaron Rodgers is not going to show up.
Well, Hackett is the whisperer, according to Aaron Rodgers. One of the best football minds he's ever been around.
You know what? You're right. Maybe he will show up to the meeting because he has probably more respect for Nate Hackett than he does for Matt LaFleur. Holy cow.
When do you start calling Nate Hackett, by the way?
I think I've heard Aaron Rodgers say it once or twice recently. And also, just keeping it short. You know?
I'm like, what, are you on a texting relationship with this guy? Nate Hackett.
Well, he is my guy, you know. This time last year, singing his praise about being a top three coach of the year candidate. So, you know, I know him, unfortunately, more than I should.
Yeah, you fell for the Nate bait. That's what happened last year.
That's good. I did.
You did. And this is the thing that makes me just wonder here. With the relationship about Rodgers and the Jets. Like, Rodgers is going to the Jets, and he knows that he's kind of the judge, jury, and executioner. Like, how the Nets set the side for Kevin Durant, that's what the Jets are going to do for Aaron Rodgers. You can talk about this wish list or not, blah, 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 and basically just destroy all the media while admitting the whole thing is true. The thing is, in football, it's tougher because you're building a 53-man roster. And Rodgers, the GM, even though, right, you could all agree that there could have been an upgrade in talent in Green Bay, but some of the guys that he wanted to keep in Green Bay, like, what do they do after Green Bay? Not much. So here's the thing that I'm compelled to see how it goes down, Marco. Right now, they're in the honeymoon stage. They're, Rodgers, what do you want? This, yeah, that, this, good, we'll get you everything you want. What happens when eventually Rodgers gets told the word no?
For the Jets?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to hear that word.
You don't think they ever get to a point?
No, because it's too late. This is something.
Two, three-year commitment?
Yeah, it's too short. When they get to the point where it's going to be no and we can't do this, then you're gone. So it doesn't really, it's not going to get to that. I don't think it's going to get to a head in that regard. It should have gotten to a head with Green Bay, but both sides are children. So that's why it never actually reached that point. And now we're going to get it after it's already done because, again, both sides are children. Because they could have did this and they could have salvaged this a long time ago, but neither one of them wanted to. Because neither one of them had the stones to do it, basically. So now Rodgers goes to the Jets, gets whatever he wants. The Jets have no recourse because they're going to have to make the deal with the devil. And when they get to the point where they can't handle it anymore, they're going to walk away. They're not going to tell him no because they're not going to have the stones to do it. So it's basically, Rodgers is going to get what he wants his entire career.
He should be nice. A life coach.
It's nice and simple.
Marco Belletti, life coach.
Look, I get the idea of the Packers, like, we can't battle Rodgers. We need him. We need him. We need him. Well, guess what? When you need him and you let him do whatever the hell he wants, then swallow it. After he leaves, don't start bashing him when he's out the door. You wanted to be a child and you wanted to be afraid and you never wanted to stood up and really actually confront him. Then when he's gone, don't bash him after he's gone, because now you look just as bad as he did. He acted like a child. Now you're acting like a child after he's gone.
And you know what this all is right now. This is a battle of trying to win the public opinion, right? To try to make yourself look good. And like Gutekunst today saying, oh, we tried to call Rodgers. Okay, that's fine. You knew he wasn't going to call you back. And also, you both knew you were moving on at the end of the year. It's all semantics
Stop.
Now.
Stop. Honestly, all of it's garbage. You want to win the public opinion? You know what? Say Aaron Rodgers is a great Green Bay Packer for the time that he was here. We appreciate everything.
And
we're moving on.
To seeing what Jordan Love.
And that's
prove.
It. Mm-hmm. You want to look good in the public? Stop pointing fingers. Because that's how we do it in everything that we do. We all say that we don't want somebody to point the finger. We all want somebody to take responsibility. Bottom line, no one does. So why don't you just stand up, actually have a spine, Take responsibility for everything that happened. Say it was a tremendous run. We had a Hall of Famer for the long period of time. It just didn't work out. We wish him the best. We're moving on. And it's as simple as that. But because you can't handle it and you want to be petty and you want to say, oh, we had to swallow it for so long. You know what? I'm getting back at him. You didn't have the stones to stand up when you had the chance. Now let it go.
I think we have a new drop, by the way. Can we cut the Marco Belletti line of him screaming, stop pointing fingers? I feel like we could use that a lot in life around here.
It's so stupid. And everybody knows it, and we all see through it, and then we want it. We want to hear it. We want the dirt because it's fun for us, and that's true.
Spill the tea, baby.
For everybody. I get it. But at some point, don't you look at it and you go, I don't want to be involved in this drama. We had it for 20 years with Favre. We had it for 20 years with Rodgers. We're not walking away from it. Do we need to
continue?
Do we need to continue the toxic environment that we have so that Jordan Love starts with all this nonsense? He already saw it for too many years.
This looks so bizarre to me. I've never seen anything like this where you know the relationship's over. You know the team he's going to. They still have to figure out what the trade's going to be. And then both sides are... The Jets are talking as if Rodgers is there because they know it's happening, and the Packers are already talking like they moved on, but yet, right now, technically, Rodgers is still on the Packers, and the Jets still don't have their quarterback.
Which is still the idea that both of them think they have some sort of leverage.
Got nothing.
Neither one of them have any leverage. Yeah. And as soon as they actually realize that, and they could figure that out and move on, then we all can go on with our lives.
The only leverage the Jets have is if they are willing to give a fully guaranteed contract to Lamar Jackson that they know the Ravens won't match, but... By the slight chance the Ravens end up saying, you know what, bleep it, we can't lose Lamar, we'll just pay him a match in the deal, then you're going to annoy Rodgers because you were flirting with someone else.
Which is why they can't go down that road.
Which is why they can't do it.
And they already 100%. Said that today. Joe Douglas already said that today. That would be in bad faith. Know they can't do that. You got a guy who's charm and soft as it is. You're gonna go after Lamar Jackson now and really piss him off? Like, it can't work. So neither side has any leverage at all. And at some point, they're going to have to get into a room and figure this out. Now, the Packers want to say, well, the Jets have no choice. You really want Aaron Rodgers in your building? You can't wait to bash him. He isn't even gone yet. Get rid of the guy. You need to do it. They need to do it. Stop arguing over stupidity. Come to an agreement and get this over with. But neither side will, and I feel like we're going to be talking about this in June and into July. And Rodgers is the only one that wins because then he doesn't have to show up to voluntary this or voluntary that.
Probably
because I'm technically not on the team. So you can't get mad at me that I'm not showing up to throw with the receivers that are in their second year. I don't care because I'm not technically on the
team. Be in some cave.
That's it.
Join the offseason.
It's as simple as that because you know he doesn't want to be there for any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So when it's mandatory and he has to be there, maybe then this deal will get done. And in the meantime, we all dance and we all listen and we all watch, but it's all garbage.
You think they've already sent him the playbook? The Jets?
I don't think so, because I don't think he needs it, because I don't think he cares.
Okay.
It's Nathaniel Hackett's offense, right? Is that basically the concept of why he's there? Then I don't think the Jets are worried because he knows it. I don't think Hackett's worried about it because he remembers. And I think Rodgers is not going to want to listen to anything anyway. So give me the stuff that I liked from the years we were together. Everything that I didn't like, don't bother with it.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, you know what's kind of wild? We got the NFL draft coming up.
Like, 1 month from today?
I was just going to say that. 1 month from today, the NFL draft is coming up. On April 27th is the first round. I believe the plan is for us to be in Kansas City. They're just crossing some T's and dotting some I's around here. But I am optimistic that we will be at the draft once again. I would say it's like a 93% chance right now from what management tells me that we're going to the draft. But it's maybe like the Rodgers and the Packers situation with the Jets. You're pretty sure a deal's going to get done. Yeah, you're very confident a deal's going to get done. Just when are you going to be informed that the deal's going to get done?
And hopefully they tell us before the Wednesday of the 26th. Yeah. Oh, by the way, flights in the morning. We'll see you in Kansas City. Just like the Jets, Packers probably trade Rodgers like night before week one.
All I could say is we're a lot more professional around here than the Jets and the Packers are going to be in handling this. Or let me just say the Packers and Rodgers will be in handling this situation.
I don't think you've ghosted our bosses. So I think, yes, we are much classier.
Hey,
that
Spike,
is for sure.
Not showing up for the Thursday meeting. Not going to tell you, though. Maybe I'll show up. Maybe I won't. Spike will be like, all right, you're fired. Let's go to Brian in Charlotte next up. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing great. What do you got for me?
Hey, so I'm from Charlotte, and I listen to Mac and Bone all the time. And
love
I know
Mac
you're
and
like,
Bone.
Yeah, great guys, man. They're hell of a radio show, just like you guys are. And I was wondering, do you have a troll speech prepared for when the Panthers, like, inevitably blow it and pick Anthony Richardson or Will Levis? And I'll leave you with that.
Let me ask you this, Brian, just real quickly. Why would I be trolling, just wondering?
Maybe I didn't use the right phrase. I just know that you guys kind of like have some like banter and go back
and forth.
And like, I enjoy it a lot when I'm like, I do landscape and I listen to y'all's like podcasts all the time. And like your feature is one of my favorite parts. And,
I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, no
well
problem,
thank you.
Man. So I
do not
just,
have a troll
speech feel like
ready.
You always got like the barrels loaded for them, like in jest. But I just wanted to know, I feel like you would take pleasure in seeing them suffer. So,
Well, here's the thing, and it's a fascinating question, and really thank you for the call, Brian, and all the times you listen to this show, and then also one of our great affiliates, WFNZ. I actually want to see Mac be happy. You know, Mac and Bone, they are good sports fans, and they deserve a winner. And they have the number one overall pick. They should take Bryce Young. Now, if they take C.J. Stroud, okay, but I like Bryce Young better. If it's Anthony Richardson or Will Levis, I think I would just feel sad for them because you can't trade up to one and draft Anthony Richardson or Will Levis, Hickey. Now, here we go. Absolutely. Welcome it in. I'm Hickey. I still want Bryce Young on the Colts. I'm still thinking there's a chance. There's no chance because the Texans are going to take him then at two.
You have it's Stroud or Young, either one. The Panthers cross those two quarterbacks off the board. That said, would I hate if they go Richardson? No.
Stroud or Young, don't be dumb. It's that simple. Stroud or Young, don't be dumb. That's all you got to say, Panthers fans. All right, well, we'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Zach Gelb Show. Bye-bye. Peace!
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code PODCAST.